I just love that song. That song really means a lot. If you have been saved, and if you've made that decision, you have Jesus as your living hope. How cool is that? How cool is it that you have a living hope? You once were lost in your sin, and there was a time that you were hopeless. But if you've made that decision to trust in Christ as your Savior, that's the best decision that you could ever make. And now we have a living hope. And I know that some of you made that decision this week, and we can praise God for that. That's amazing. But if you haven't done that, it's not too late. Make that decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ alone. All right? It's an amazing song. And I do have an announcement for tonight. Jovi, could you raise your hand? She beat me at Cowboy Connect 4 today. Let's give her a round of applause. Good job, Jovi. That was really amazing. Oh no. What was he doing? Did he try the deadly rope trick again after hurting himself? Okay, listen up, listen up. That is a bad idea. I see the rope right here, and you should not try that. That is a bad idea. Very dangerous. So was he okay? Okay, he did it. Okay. Obviously that's a trick, and I'm glad that he did it well, but don't mess around with ropes. Don't do that. Not safe. Bad idea, okay? I'm very glad that he came out alive. All right? No, I trust that he's alive, okay? I see it. I trust you. Oh, he's hunting the Afton Yeti. Oh, great. That's awesome. Did you guys help him find it? Okay. Hopefully he'll be able to get it. That would be pretty cool if he was able to get his lifelong search of the Afton Yeti. All right, one more thing. This is the final night, okay? I know, it's very, very sad. How many of you had a fun week this week? Yep, I had so much fun too with all of the different activities, but most of all, sharing God's word with you this week. That's been a real blessing to me, and I'm really looking forward to this final message that we have tonight. If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16, okay, that's in the second half of your Bible. It's the first book of the New Testament, and it's before Mark, okay? So Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 is where we're going to start tonight before we have a word of prayer. All right, so if you could turn to Matthew 16, verse 24 through 26 is what we're going to look at tonight, all right? So turn in your Bibles if you have them. I'll also have verses up on the screen for you, okay? All right. Since it's the final message, and God is going to be speaking from his word and through me, that I just ask that you would ask God for an open heart, okay? Remember those soils. If you have a hard heart right now, it doesn't have to stay that way. You can have an open heart. If you have a distracted heart, you're thinking about other things, it doesn't have to stay that way. We can go to God and ask him for help to have an open heart. So let's do that right now, okay? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to open up your word and take a look at what you have to say tonight. Pray for these boys and girls that they would not be distracted, that they would not be closed off, but I pray that they would have open hearts ready to listen to what you have to say, and I pray that they would apply it to their life, be willing to change tonight. God, we love you, and I pray this all in your name. Amen. How many of you guys would say that you really like to run? Just, like, not even for a sport, but just for no reason. Like, you just like running. Wow, that is a lot of you. That is not me whatsoever. I don't just, like, go on runs for fun. I like, you know, sports, and I'll run in basketball, stuff like that. But just the sake of running, nope, not a fan. But tonight, I'm going to tell you a story about a man that really loved to run, okay? Really, really good at it. And his name is Eric Little. All right, Eric Little. And Eric Little was born in China. I know, it might not look like he was born in China, but his parents were actually Scottish, but they were missionaries to China, and that's where he was born. And there's two main things that you need to know about Eric Little. Number one, ever since he was a young man, he was surrendered to God. and he prioritized that in his life. And number two, he was fast. He was real, real fast. So as he went to school, he went to school back in Europe while his parents stayed as missionaries in China. But he ran track, and he was really, really good. And then when he went off to college, he played rugby, but his main thing was still track. He was just so, so, so fast. And he was so good at running that people around him, they suggested, have you ever thought about, you know, professional running, like even the Olympics, okay? Have you thought about running in the 1924 Paris Olympics? And he's like, huh, that's a good idea. So he started training for the 100-meter race. That was his forte, was sprinting in the 100-meter race. And so he was preparing, he was training hard for this this day and this event. But when the announcement came out for what day the race was going to be held on, it changed everything. The day that it was going to be held, that race was going to be held, was on a Sunday. And you might be thinking, what's the big deal about it being on the Sunday? Like, who cares? Like, it's the Olympics. That's the greatest stage that you could ever run on. And the whole world is watching. Who cares about running on a Sunday? Well, I told you at the beginning that Eric Little, first and foremost, he was surrendered to God. That was his priority. His priority was to worship God on that Sunday, to go to church. And so he couldn't put running, even if it's the Olympics, above God and above worshiping God on Sunday. And so he wasn't able to run in that 100-meter race. And that was a great testimony to the world. The world was watching him and the preparation and the Olympics. It was a big deal. And they saw that he wasn't willing to run because it was on a Sunday, because he prioritized God. And people thought that he was going to win the gold medal. Like, it wasn't just that he was going to try. It was that he was favored to win. And he was willing to give that up in order to worship God. Wow, that's a great testimony. Well, other people, or he heard of other races, and he figured, maybe I could try the 400-meter race. That's held on a different day. And so I know it's not what I'm best at. I know I'm not favored to win, but maybe I'll be able to do it. And 400 meters, I mean, that's four times the distance of what he's used to in his sprinting. And so he thought in his head, well, if I just run as fast as I can like normal, and then, you know, keep going and just don't look back, maybe I'll be able to do it. Maybe I'll be able to get like a bronze medal, or at least place. And so he tried and he prepared for this 400-meter race. Well, the day came for the race. They got on the starting line, they were prepared, he got his mind ready, and when the race began, he just took off as fast as he can, just like normal, and he didn't look back. He went as fast as he possibly could, and then all of a sudden, when the race was finished, he didn't win a bronze, okay? He didn't win a silver, but he was able to win the gold medal. The gold medal of the 400-meter race that he wasn't expected to win. It was amazing. And not only that, but he broke the world record. He was the fastest ever. It was amazing. The whole world was watching him do this. What a testimony. Him saying, no, I'm not going to run in that first race, but I'm going to try for something else. And God allowed him to win and even break a record. That's amazing. And he was the best of the best. He was famous. He could have made lots of money. But what he decided to do when he graduated from college was to give that up. And he went back to China to become a missionary, just like his parents did. His parents were serving God and telling others about Jesus, and that's what he wanted to do. Because again, Eric Little was surrendered to God. That was the priority. That was the most important thing to him, was to testify of the truth of who God is, to tell other people about Jesus. What we talked about on Tuesday night, how we are sinners and we deserve to be separate from God, But Jesus Christ came to this world to die on the cross for our sins and to save us. That's what he was doing with his life. And he got married. He had kids in China. But when the 1940s started rolling around, it was really dangerous to live in China because of World War II. The Japanese had invaded China, and they were setting up internment camps, prison camps that they would throw people in. And so Eric Little, he had another decision to make. What was he going to do? He decided that he was going to send his wife and his kids to Canada, to safety, and he was going to stay and tell people about Jesus. That was his priority. He took care of his family, but could you imagine how hard that would be to be separate from your wife, from your kids, from your whole family? But he chose to do that, to testify of who God is. And later he was put in one of those prison camps. He was treated awfully. He didn't get enough food, and he was completely mistreated, but in that internment camp, he still preached the gospel. He still told people about Jesus, and people came to trust in him as their savior. It's amazing. There's going to be souls that are going to be in heaven forever because of his ministry, because of him testifying of who God is. And it's all because he was surrendered to God. Later, he died in that prison camp. And we think of that story, and we think, wow, that's really sad. But he also had an amazing life that mattered to God, and that was going to last for eternity because he was surrendered to God. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the fact that you, if you have that relationship with God, if you've trusted in him as your Savior, you need to surrender to him, just like Eric Little did. So you need to surrender your life to God, and we see this in Matthew 16, verse 24. So I'm going to read that verse. It says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me." So number one, deny yourself. Number two, take up your cross. And number three, follow him. We're going to be talking about what surrendering to God looks like. So first, number one, deny yourself. Can you say that with me? Deny yourself. What does denying yourself even mean? It means to give up your own desires and dreams. You probably are sitting in here and you have a dream of what you want to do in the future. Maybe it's to become a professional athlete. You really like basketball or baseball or soccer, and you want to go pro. Maybe you want to become a doctor or a lawyer or a YouTuber, like Mr. Bodie mentioned this morning. You might have a dream in your life of making money or of having that fun and amazing job. But being willing to deny yourself is to say, I'm willing to give that up. I'm willing to say no to my dream, and I'm willing to give complete control to God. Now, it doesn't mean that that's not going to happen or that's not God's plan for you, but it's a choice that you make. It's a choice that you say, I'm not going to do whatever I want to do, but God, I'm going to choose to do what you want for my life. And it doesn't have to be way down the line in the future. What about today? Today, it's saying, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to give up what I want to do today, my selfish desires, and I'm going to obey God. Whatever God wants me to do today, and to do what's right, I'm going to choose to do that. So simply, if you're outside playing with your siblings, you're having a blast, and your mom comes out and says, hey, can you help me with something? In that opportunity that you have, in that situation, to deny yourself would be to say, I don't need to continue playing, even though that's what I want to do. I'll be willing to honor God and obey my mom. That's all that it means, is to deny yourself, give up your own desires and dreams, and give complete control to God, now and in the future. All right, so number one, deny yourself. Number two, take up your cross. Can you say that with me? Take up your cross. What does this mean? This means to be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. when Jesus was telling this to his disciples, they probably were shocked. The cross was a big deal. It was an executional instrument. It was a place that the Romans would put people to death. And so when they heard this, they were like, what? Jesus, in order to follow you, we have to be willing to take up our cross? That's a big deal, to be willing to suffer. But we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate that we live in America, where we do not get persecuted for what we believe in and for worshiping God. But boys and girls, there's many other places in this world, many countries that don't have the freedoms that we do. There's many Christians around this world that are surrendered to God and living for him and being persecuted for it. And our freedoms, they're not guaranteed. In the future, we might lose some of our freedom. And you have to be willing to say, I am willing to suffer for what I believe in. I'm willing to suffer for Christ. And it's not just persecution down the road. What about now as well? You might face being made fun of. Maybe your friends or your neighbors or kids at school, they say, you believe in God? Or you believe in the Bible? You think that's true? And they might make fun of you for that. And surrendering to God is being willing to take that, being willing to be made fun of for what you believe in. Because this is true. God is true. And he's worth surrendering your life for. So that's number two, to take up your cross. So number one, deny yourself. Number two, take up your cross. And number three, follow him. Can you say that with me? Follow him. What does it mean to follow him? Well, it means to seek to know God better every day. Did you know that every day when you wake up, you can know God better? That's an amazing thought to me. Every day that I wake up is a new day, and I could know the creator of the universe a little bit better. And how do you get to know him? You get to know him through his word, through what he's told us in the Bible. When you read God's word, when you listen to it, be willing to change, you can know who God is a little bit better every day. And that's what it means to follow him. It also means to choose to live like Christ. When Jesus was on this earth, he was perfect. He never broke God's rules. He never sinned. Now, we're never going to reach that. We still have our sin natures. But it should be our goal to live like Jesus Christ. It should be our goal to honor God and obey his rules, to do what he tells us to do, and to stay away from what he tells us not to do. That's what it means to follow him. Seek to know God better every day and be willing to live like Christ. So number one, deny yourself. Number two, take up your cross. And number three, follow him. That's what it means to surrender to God. Now I want to talk about why. You might be sitting there and asking yourself this. Why do I need to surrender my life to God? What's the big deal? Well, in the next couple verses, we see why. Jesus tells us why we should surrender to him. In verse 25, we see that we should surrender our lives to God because the comfort of this world isn't worth it. Can you say that with me? Because the comfort of this world isn't worth it. The verse says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, shall find it." What? That's a little bit confusing, but what this verse is saying is that when someone is trying to save their life, meaning to live comfortably, to not suffer, to not deny themselves, but to live for how they want to live with comfort, their life, they're going to lose their life, meaning they're not going to have a life that matters. Living for comfort isn't worth it. It doesn't last. That's not going to last for eternity. It doesn't matter. But if you're willing to say, for Christ, I'm willing to lose my life. That doesn't mean just being willing to die. It means being willing to surrender to him, being willing to deny yourself, being willing to suffer, to take up your cross, and to follow him. If you're willing to do that, your life will matter. Your life is going to matter for eternity. You're going to do things for God, and those things will last. So, boys and girls, we need to surrender our lives to God because the comfort of this world isn't worth it. I like to think of it a little bit like the difference between the first game of a football season and the Super Bowl, okay? Now, if you had the choice to win the very first game of the season, or if you had the choice to win the Super Bowl, the correct choice would be to win the championship, okay? It would be ridiculous if someone said, who cares about the Super Bowl? I'll win that very first game of the season. That would be ridiculous. But what would be better is to say, who cares about that first game? I got my eyes on the championship. I want to win that Super Bowl. Boys and girls, you have that choice. You have the choice to either win now and lose later, or lose now and win later. You have the choice to live comfortably, live for yourself, and then have your eternity not matter, or you can choose to live for God now and to deny yourself, be willing to live for him, and then win later and have your life count. So that's number one, okay? We need to surrender to God because the comfort of this world isn't worth it. Number two, I need to surrender my life to God because the wealth of this world isn't worth it. Can you say that with me? Because the wealth of this world isn't worth it. Verse 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" This verse is saying that if someone were by chance able to gain everything in the world, so all of the money, all of the stuff, all of the pleasures in this world, that wouldn't be worth one soul. I want you to imagine that you got all of the money, okay? All of the money in the world. That's not just billions of dollars. That's not just trillions of dollars. That's quadrillions of dollars. Your bank account has got so many zeros, okay? You've got all that money. I want you to imagine that you own everything. All the car dealerships, you know, the Ferraris, the Lamborghinis, all that. It's not only that you have money to buy one, but you own all of them. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. If you could walk into a car dealership and you had all of them. Or looking on Amazon, you're scrolling through the different video games. Not only do you have money to buy them, but you have all of the video games that you could ever want. If you were able to have all of that stuff and all of the money in the world, that would not be worth your soul or your life. It would be better for you to live for God now than to gain the whole world. That's incredible. The wealth of this world isn't worth it, boys and girls. It's not. This world tells us that. You're going to hear from left and right, every direction. As you grow up, you're going to hear what you need to live for is a good job, to make a lot of money, to have fun, to be comfortable. That's not worth living for. The only life that's worth living for is one surrendered to God, being willing to testify of who he is. That is a life worth living. So, what does it mean to surrender to God? It means denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him. Can we say these three things again? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Why should I? The comfort of this world isn't worth it, and the wealth of this world isn't worth it. Can we say those two? The comfort of this world isn't worth it, and the wealth of this world isn't worth it. Boys and girls, I have a friend that I had in fifth and sixth grade who loved basketball. And I like basketball too, but I wasn't nearly as good as him when I was in elementary. We played at recess, we played on the elementary basketball team, and he was a lot better. But it was cool to play with him. Well, now, as he's grown up, I haven't seen him in a long time, but just a few weeks ago, my friend got drafted into the NBA. Okay, the NBA is the professional basketball. That's the highest that you can possibly go. And he was able to get drafted in the first round. He's really good. He's going to be a millionaire very soon. He's already famous, and he's going to grow in his fame. But boys and girls, you might be thinking, wow, that's awesome. You know him? It's incredible. He's like a hero. But that guy, all that money, all that fame, that's not really what life is about. I think it's cooler when I see my friends being willing to choose to become a missionary or a pastor, being willing to testify of who God is. That is a life worth living, not playing basketball. All right, boys and girls, if you want your life to count, if you want your life to matter, you need to be surrendered to God. You need to live for him, because that is what life is about. And so how can you practically, in a few ways, surrender to God? How can I live surrender to God now? Number one, you can trust in Christ as your Savior. That's the first step. If you haven't done that, if you haven't been saved, you can't surrender your life to God because you don't have that relationship. So trust in Christ as your Savior. Number two, tell three people about your decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Just tell three people. It could be your family, your friends, neighbors. That's one way you can testify. Number three, you could tell others about what Jesus did for them. Share the gospel, what we talked about on Tuesday night. If you took notes, share that with somebody else. Number four, ask how you can serve in your church. We talked about the instruments. Many of you raised your hands about instruments that you play. You could play that and testify of who God is. Or you could ask your pastor or your sponsor, how can I serve in church? And they'd love to tell you. Might be cleaning, might be greeting people, but you can serve now. Number five, you could consider becoming a pastor or a missionary. And I know that's down the road, but boys and girls, that would be a life that would be so worth it. Leading souls to their Savior. So boys and girls, are you willing to surrender your life to God? Just think in your head. Is that something that you have done? Or are you still living for yourself? Do you just want to make money or do what you want to do? You're going to have an opportunity to make a choice to surrender your life to God if that's what you'd like to do. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. No one looking around. If you'd say, Mr. Andrew, I know that I've never made that decision. I've never chosen to surrender my life to God. But that's something that I'd like to do. I'd like to spend my life saying, whatever you want, God, I want to do that. If that's you and you'd like to surrender your life to God, I just invite you to raise your hand. No one's looking around. Bow your heads, close your eyes. But if you'd like to make that decision and say, I would like to surrender my life to God, just invite you to raise your hand. All right, you can put your hands down. The second question, if you would like to talk to a counselor about that, if you just rose your hand and you would like to talk to a counselor, I just invite you to look up at them, to get up out of your seat, and talk to them about how you can surrender your life to God, and how you can make a plan to live for him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, but if you rose your hand and you'd like to talk to someone about that tonight, I just invite you to get up out of your seat, talk to your counselor tonight. I'll give a little bit more time. People are still moving. If you'd like to do that, I invite you to just get up out of your seat and talk to your counselor. You raised your hand and you would like to talk to a counselor about that. I just invite you to get up out of your seat and talk to them about that tonight. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much for just showing us how we could be surrendered to you and what it means to follow you, is to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow you. God, I pray for these boys and girls that if they've never made that decision, that they'd be willing to do that and say, I'm willing to do whatever you want, Lord. God, I pray for those that went out, that they'd be able to make a decision, develop a plan on how they can live for you. I pray for the other boys and girls in this room, maybe they raised their hand or not. If they've never done that, I pray that they would not leave here without talking to someone about that. I pray this all in your name.